Lynn Cox loves to swim, but she doesn't like to swim in a pool.
When you swim in a pool, you sort of know you're going to make it to the other side. I mean, it's sort of a given.
Cox became an open water swimmer at the age of 14. 4 decades later, you can find her paddling and stroking her way through the open ocean off the coast of California.
It's so much more creative. I mean, you have to figure things out. You have to look at what the tides are doing. You have to look at what the weather's doing. You have to be in tune with it as you're swimming and aware of what's going to go on next.
Cox was one of the first teenagers to swim the Catalina Island Channel. Her resume includes swims through Cook Strait in New Zealand and the English Channel. Swimming took her across Siberia's Lake Baikal, Germany's Spree River, and she's also crossed Lake Titicaca between Bolivia and Peru. And that's just the short list.
You know, you just don't know what you're going to experience each day when you get in. And a big part of just getting in is going, oh my gosh, the water's cold. And I know it's going to be cold and I have to go in it. And then once I get going, I'll warm up.
Most people think water under 80 degrees is cold. When Cox thinks about cold water, she's lucky if it's half that temperature. In 2003, she swam a speedy 1.2 miles off the coast of Antarctica. That water was 32 degrees.
You lose 80% of heat through your head. And so I decided that the first part of the swim, I would try to swim head up like a water polo player to be able to maintain my core temperature, to keep my internal temperature warmer for a longer period of time.
Cox didn't wear a dry suit. She didn't even don a wetsuit. But it wasn't her first cold water swim. Back in 1987, she slid into the waters of the Bering Strait in a Lycra swimsuit, latex cap, and swim goggles.
It was to open the border between the U.S. and Soviet Union and promote goodwill and peace, you know, to reach out to the Soviets and to, you know, have them grab my hand to help me pull me out of the water. It was just like that was what that swim was all about. And I thought that if I wore a wetsuit, then it was about technology. It wasn't about doing everything you physically, mentally, spiritually can to open a border between two countries.
Over the years, Cox has taken flack for her physique. An article in May in ESPN's The Magazine depicts her as the kindly neighbor who walks everyone's dogs when they're on vacation. While she admits she doesn't have the trim, chiseled build of an Olympic swimmer, researchers have studied her body's rare ability to withstand cold for decades.
In order for me to do the things I've done, I've had to be extremely strong and powerful in addition to having some body fat. But I don't think that that's all that it is.
She says it's about her mindset.
Before I did the swim in Antarctica, I went back into the cabin and sat down and just looking out the window and trying to figure out the course that I might swim. And before I went for the swim, I had my core temperature taken. And it was up to 102 degrees. So I realized that my body, my mind knew that I was about to swim in 32 degree water, and it was preparing for that moment.
Her coldest swims have been off the coast of Greenland, where she was chasing another passion back in 2007. Roald Amundsen, the Norwegian explorer, was her childhood hero. She's even written a book about him.
It was also fantastic to be able to study Amundsen and to see the challenges he faced and, like, waiting, you know, for the ice to break and how difficult it was to be locked in the ice and that anticipation of someday they'd be able to sail again. And I sort of had the same happen when I went to swim in Pond Inlet off of Baffin Island.
87 years after Arctic sea ice thwarted Amundsen's Northwest Passage expedition, it also stalled Cox. She waited nearly a week before she could plunge into the 28-degree water and follow parts of Amundsen's route. For KUAC News, I'm Emily Schwing in Fairbanks.